My name is Kent, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I want to start by offering a prayer for you. The Lord be with you. And then I want to give a special thanks to the staff this week and to all the volunteers, because this place truly was like a little beehive of activity, and all the extra effort that went into taking care of the city. And it's just a blessing to be part of a congregation where the question is never asked if we should do this. That's never even a question. We should do something. The question is always what and how much. And so many of you went above and beyond the call in terms of serving the city. So thank you. Thank you for that. We're going to ask an interesting question today. And the question is, what does Jesus see when he looks at the world? He's looking down at us, and what do you think he sees? And to try to understand that, we'll go back and look at how he looked at the world that he lived in. And we're going to do that by looking at a couple parables today in Matthew chapter 13. So I'd like to invite you, if you have a Bible, to open it up and look at that. Now, I noticed Bibles all over the building this week. They're maybe missing from the chairs, but if you've got your own Bible, or open up your phone and open up a Bible on your iPad or whatever, Matthew chapter 13 is where we're going to start. Matthew 13. And we're going to start with verse 44, Matthew 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This is God's word, and it's true, and we can rely on it. My dad loved to pull weeds. In fact, he was known to stop in the middle of a bike ride. He liked to ride bikes, too. He would stop in the middle of his bike ride. He would go pull weeds on other people's property. And one time, he stopped to pull weeds under a highway bridge. And after he finished pulling weeds, he looked up, and someone had stolen his bicycle. And he had to walk home, and he was, of course, mad at the thief who took his bike, but he was satisfied that he had cleaned up underneath this bridge. Now, I am my father's son, and I hate weeds. I would never say I love pulling weeds, but I hate them. And so I find myself very irritated at the sight of weeds. And I maybe am a recovering weed puller. So some of you know I got a decent-sized garden in my backyard. And I just do not like weeds in my garden. And it's been very hard for me to like stop and sit back there and enjoy my garden when there's weeds. But Mary has been trying to coach me that sometimes you have to just leave a weed or two and then just look at that just to recognize that the weed doesn't have control over you. That's what I'm working on right now. Even with this intervention, if you come to my garden, you can tell what are weeds and what are not weeds, because the stuff that aren't weeds, I treasure a lot, and I try to make them look really good. I want my garden to look good. So this week, I tried to spend some time figuring out the answer to the question, what is the kingdom of heaven? And as I was reading these parables, it seemed to me that it had something to do with weeds and treasure. And if we wanted to understand what this is that Jesus is talking about, we have to understand those two things. So here's the two questions I want to look at in the next couple minutes. What is a weed in the kingdom of heaven? And what is a treasure in the kingdom of heaven? Okay? We're going to try to identify the weeds and the treasures. Now, you might be wondering why I'm asking these questions when I just said we're going to look at how Jesus looked at the world. And we're doing that because Jesus made a very close connection between the kingdom of heaven and the earth. And he often connected those two, which started to give us the idea that the kingdom of heaven was actually coming to earth, and that we should look for signs of that kingdom around us. And we see that in places where Jesus says things like, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. So he's not making this necessarily sharp distinction between where the kingdom of heaven is. It's not somewhere out there, somewhere up away. The kingdom of heaven might be breaking in right around us. So he starts us with this kind of mentality. So with that in mind, Jesus told another parable. Now I'm jumping up in chapter 13 to verse 24. Jesus told them this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then he went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. And so the owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Well, then where do these weeds come from?" And the master replied, "An enemy did this." So the servants asked him, "Do you want us to pull them up?" So these servants are kind of wired like me and my dad. You see a weed, you should go out there and get it. But the master answered, "No, because while you're pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat also. So let both of them grow until the harvest, and then at that time I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and we'll put them up in a bundle and burn them, and then gather the wheat and we'll bring that into my barn." I'm kind of surprised when I read this story because I think the only response to a weed is to go pull it out immediately. But Jesus is seeing something different. He's seeing a world in which wheat and weeds sprout up right next to each other. He sees a world in which good and evil are sometimes hand in hand. And if you pull up the weed, you might pull up the wheat with it. If you eradicate the evil at this time, you might destroy some of the good that could come from that. What is Jesus seeing? He's seeing these things so differently than I see them. So what are we supposed to do if we're not allowed to go off into this weed-pulling frenzy? Jesus says, wait. Be patient. Let's let the situation develop. Let the wheat grow up. Let the weeds grow up. We don't know what good will yet come from this. I wonder if Jesus is seeing a world in which God, he is still working. God has not stopped working. He sees a world in which God's not finished yet, that God still has other things that he wants to accomplish. We're in the middle of the story. It's not harvest time yet. He sees a world in which things that are meant for evil could actually be turned to good. Ever hear a story about that in the Bible? Things meant for evil could be turned to good. So don't pull that weed yet. The disciples must have been wondering some of the same stuff we're wondering about when you read this story and say, what is Jesus seeing? What is he saying? Because later they come up to Jesus and they say, hey, we need an explanation. Help us understand what's going on. So they asked Jesus about this parable, and Jesus answered them. Verse 37, "The one who sowed the seed is the Son of Man." God is sowing good seed. That's one of the real clear teachings of this little parable. God is sowing good seed in this world. The field is the world. And the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one. The enemy has sown them. The enemy is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will be thrown into the blazing furnace where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them listen. The kingdom of heaven is about sowing good seed. The enemy doesn't like that. He's active and busy sowing evil. So then, it seems to me that sometimes the good that has been sown is maybe not evident immediately. Maybe it's like a treasure that's been buried. We haven't seen it yet. This is the story we looked at the beginning. Jesus says the kingdom is like a man who's out plowing his field, doing his normal duties, and the plow chunks up against something. He has to dig through the dirt to find what it is. It's not a rock, it's a treasure chest. He opens up the treasure chest and he goes, oh, this is great. He closes it up, covers it up. He goes down to the realtor and he says, well, you know, there's that old rocky piece of soil out there and good for nothing. Maybe I'd like to buy that. So he makes a deal. He actually takes all of his resources. He sells everything he has so he has enough money to go buy the field, and then he has the treasure that he's found. That's the extent that he was willing to go. The kingdom is something like people who stumble upon treasure And then they give everything they have in order to get it. They take every risk they can take. They don't settle. It seems to me that one of the lures of a pirate treasure hunt is the adventure of it, right? If you ever got a pirate map with a big red X on it, X marks the spot, you'd go try to find where that X is, wouldn't you? We want to go find that treasure. And we would do whatever it takes to get it. Sometimes I wonder how far I would go if I knew there was a treasure and I had to go find it. How far would I go to discover it? Of course, sometimes it's easy for us to settle, to play it safe. Maybe we go after lesser treasures. If it's too risky or too much of an adventure to go after the big treasure, maybe I'll settle for less than the best. But of course, people of God's kingdom never settle, do they? Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and he sold everything he had to get it. Selling everything doesn't sound like settling, does it? Sounds like a risk. This is Jesus' perspective on weeds and treasure. And it raises a couple questions for me, maybe for you too. Would I recognize the kingdom if I saw it? Would I recognize the good seed sprouting up, even if it was in the middle of a weed patch? And if I did recognize the kingdom, would I sell everything I had to go get it? I love Pastor William Willimon. He's a Methodist pastor, and he writes on these subjects, and he had a really great story to tell about this. This is what he says. When I was a junior in college, I was thinking about a lot of things, and none of them included the Christian ministry. A friend talked me into going with him to a conference called Exploring Ministry. Well, I drifted through most of the weekend until late Saturday night when a group of South Carolina pastors sat in a hotel room talking about their lives. And these were the days of the civil rights movement in the South, so one of them had been a victim of the Ku Klux Klan. He'd had a cross burned in his front yard. Another had a concrete block thrown through the back windshield of his car after a meeting. And the wife and children of another had been snubbed and persecuted in a small southern town. And I, in my lowly undergraduate imagination, thought to myself, wow, that sounds great. I didn't know that being a Methodist was so much fun. Back then, anybody with a bus leaving to find buried treasure, well, count me in. Oh, but then I got a degree, I got a job, I got tenure, I got reserved parking, and I bedded down. Now if Jesus were to come up and say, hey, there's buried treasure around the next bend of the road, I'd likely respond by asking, does that include health insurance? Do you guarantee that my sacrifice will be worth it? Do we have seat belts? It seems to me that Jesus spent a lot of time talking about the kingdom of heaven coming, and it maybe is going to be risky. But when we see it, we recognize that it's of such value because God has planted good seed, and the good is growing up, even in the midst of the weeds. And we saw that this week. I think I saw some signs of the kingdom breaking in this week because I saw people who were just generous beyond expectation. I saw people who were coming to the church to take other people's dirty laundry home to wash it. I think that might be a sign of the kingdom. I saw people who were patient and kind. I saw people who were sitting. I mean, this has to be a sign of the kingdom. I saw Jack Ulmer coloring in a coloring book. That's got to be a sign of the kingdom, doesn't it? We saw all these 400,000 sandbags and people sweating and going. These sandbag places were running all night long. People were loving their community. And then right smack in the middle of this, I saw people who were really rude and greedy and selfish. I was stuck in traffic one afternoon over on Wilson trying to get on 380 over there. And I was sitting there waiting to get on the traffic. Some poor mother, distracted in the midst of all this, smacked into the back of some guy's pickup. And the guy flew out of his truck with a rage I had never seen before and immediately tied into this woman. And I think, man, there's a weed in the middle of our wheat field. Heard about people scamming other people. What if we looked at the world like Jesus looked at the world and we started to recognize that the kingdom is good seed planted by a loving God and it's growing in this world, and right next to that are weeds. And what we are called to do is patiently cultivate until the kingdom comes fully. And that's a treasure. That is a treasure, seeing the kingdom break into this world. Jesus walks along the road one day and he's talking to people about what it means to follow him. We call that discipleship. They're explaining the cost of following Jesus. And Jesus says, if they follow them, they might get rejected by their family. He says they might have people turn against them. People might end up in jail. They might be beaten. They might be shipwrecked. They might have to give it all, but there's a cross that comes with following Jesus. But if you follow, you know what you get at the end? A treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who was plowing in the field, and he came across a treasure. And he went and he sold everything he had so that he could buy it. Father God, we come before you today and we give you thanks because we know that your kingdom is breaking into this world at this very moment. And we thank you that we are privileged to be able to see little glimpses of that growing up all around us. Even though the weeds are still persistent, we trust that you're going to be a good God who's going to continue to provide for us. And so we want to try to follow you. And we ask that your Spirit would empower us to do that. And we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the ways that we are strengthened to be able to follow is by sharing in this meal together. We come together each month and we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And in this meal, we recognize that there is a kind of mysterious nurturing that happens, a feeding of us. Our souls are fed and enriched by these elements. But before we come to this meal, we're told, don't approach the table with haste, but approach the table carefully and consider that we don't come to this table based on our own goodness. We come to this table based only on the goodness that has been given to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what I want you to do is spend a few moments looking into your own life and maybe look at weeds. Is there any chance there's any weeds growing in your own heart? And if there's a weed growing in your heart and you recognize that, then you confess that. And we have this promise that when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's go do a little weed pulling here in a few moments, and then I'll close us with a prayer. Let's pray together. God, I thank you that the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who is looking for a fine pearl. And when he finds that pearl, he goes and sells everything he has to possess it. And we recognize, God, that the fine pearl that we have received as a treasure is your Son, Jesus. And because of this, we know that we are able to come to this table with absolute confidence, that we are not disqualified because we've had some weeds sprout up in our wheat fields. But God, we are made worthy by the one sacrifice made once for all. So thank you, God, for hearing our prayers and for answering them. And we do ask that you would continue to nurture and feed us as we partake of this meal together. In Jesus' name, amen. Three things to consider as we come to the table. One is that we come to this table in remembrance. We remember that Jesus came, lived, and died for us. And in the bread broken and the cup that we drink, there is a remembrance of his body broken and his blood poured out. We also come to this meal to have communion. It's about abiding. In the same way that a branch abides in a vine and draws life, so we abide in Christ in this meal and draw life. We also come in hope because we recognize it's just a little piece of bread and just a little cup of juice, but this is a pledge or a foretaste of a great feast that we will have one day when God's kingdom comes fully and we will sit down at a great banquet and see Jesus face to face. Until then, we have this hope. The invitation is this: if you're here today and you are somebody who's come to faith in Jesus Christ, you know that Christ is your Lord and Savior, we'd like to invite you to participate in this meal with us. We're going to distribute the bread, and everyone will hold it until we're done, and then we'll all eat the bread together. Then we'll distribute the cups, and everyone will hold that until we've been served, and we'll drink that together. On the last night when Christ was with his disciples, he took the bread, and he broke it, and he said, "This bread is my body broken for you. As often as you eat it, do it in remembrance of me." In a similar manner, he took up the cup, and he said, "This cup is a new covenant of my blood shed for you. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." I'd like to invite the elders if they'd come forward at this time and prepare to serve us. The cup which we share is the communion of the blood of Christ. And Jesus said, "As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." Lord God, we come before you again today with hearts that are filled with gratitude. As far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions from us. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so far have you removed our sins from us. We're so grateful, God, for this gift and for the reminder that we could have of that today. And God, I want to pray a special prayer of blessing upon anyone who's here right now whose life might feel like it is particularly weedy. They're facing hurdles or challenges of different kinds, whether it might be a relationship challenge, whether it might be a job challenge, health challenge, whatever it might be, God, I pray that you would come very close to them and help them to know that you are the God who is sowing good seeds even in the midst of this, that you will help them to be comforted, to be healed, to be reconciled, whatever it is that we stand in need of, God, that you would provide that. And we thank you for your promise where you say that he who has begun a good work in us will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ, and we're looking forward to that day. And so thank you, God, for these good people, for the opportunity that we've had to come together today. We pray, God, for our city. We ask that you'll continue to bless those who are dealing with difficulties from the flood, those who are engaged in cleanup efforts, those who maybe still are homeless. God, we pray that you would provide for them. Above all, God, we give you praise and glory because we know that you are the good and great God and worthy of all of our praise. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.